okay, you heard John talk about leadership, and he gave a little hint about emotional intelligence. So I'm going to ask, how many people have actually heard of emotional intelligence, or EQ? Okay, most of you, great. Okay, so what I'd like to do this afternoon is just give you some tips about what you can actually do to help improve your emotional intelligence. So that's what the bulk of my talk is actually going to be about. And right now, I'm at the University of Florida, so I'm actually the chair of the Environmental Horticulture Department, but I was a graduate student, I was a professor, and now in my current role as the chair of the department, I use this more so than any of the technical skills that I ever learned in my career. So these are some of the things that if you advance in your career to leadership positions, that you're going to be using the most, and so you have to learn how to be effective at them and learn how to practice. Okay. Here we go. Okay, so the definition of emotional intelligence, it's really the capacity to be aware of, control, and express one's emotions. Does that make everybody feel uncomfortable when you start talking about feelings and emotions? Okay, so that's a lot of interpersonal relationships, okay? Because a lot of that has to deal with people's perceptions, and emotions play a huge role in how people react to things. So you have to be fully aware of not only your own emotions and your reactions, but certainly the people that you're actually communicating with. Oop, wrong way. Here we go. Okay, so when we talk about emotional intelligence, you'll see this tree, okay? And you'll see a lot of, you know, characteristics on that tree. And as you work through that, I'm sure you're going to think of a lot of things that you're good at, or you think that you're good at, and a lot of things that you actually need to be improving on. But think for a second just how many of those things that you're going to use in the average day communicating with other students, with colleagues, with your supervisor, or with other people at the university, or even in your career as you advance. So if you look at that, all of those branches make up what's EQ and emotional intelligence, okay? So you can see all of the factors that play into that, and this is a very complicated subject, and it takes years to actually excel and certainly be attuned to what you actually need to be successful. Okay, so as technical professionals in graduate school, this is what you're learning, okay? You're learning the periodic table. Okay, so now here we're going to do some participation. How many of you, what's the most important element on this table? Just shout it out.
Carbon,
okay. Who else? Well, we got carbon for one. Nobody knows nitrogen? Boron, potassium, or whatever? Okay. How many people think they know that they're right if they know the most important element on this table? Raise your hand. The people who say carbon aren't even familiar. They're not even... Okay, come on. Okay, well, I'm here to tell you that you're wrong, okay? Because they're, what you see on this table... You don't see the most important element in your career, in your job, and certainly how successful you're going to be, because this is the most important one, okay? It's the human element, okay? And you can laugh, but when you think about technical skills, and you heard Kent talk about this, and John actually alluded to it, your technical skills are only going to get you so far. The job recruiters are telling us as academic professionals that we need something else, okay? We can teach these people coming into our business, our SOPs, et cetera, but what we want are we want soft skills, okay? We want people who know how to communicate, we want people who know how to work as a team, and we certainly want people who know how to interact with our clientele, okay? So that human element is the most important one when you talk about the success of you as a professional, whether you stay in academia or whether you go to industry. So keep that in mind. Okay, so when we talk about emotional intelligence, it plays very closely and it's connected to what we call the soft skills, okay? How many people think they're learning soft skills in graduate school? Okay, we got a couple. Okay, so most of the time in graduate school, we pound into you guys technical skills, okay? We want you to know molecular genetics, we want you to know plant physiology, et cetera, and very few of us, and if you do have professors who actually do this, you're lucky, very few of us tap into these soft skills, okay? And when we look at soft skills, we're looking at communication, we're looking at teamwork, problem solving, creativity, okay? Think of all these things that were kind of innate, okay? These were put into you and instilled into you from your parents, your grandparents, etc. So these things are what you can actually learn, believe it or not, but unfortunately, most of us in academia don't really pay enough attention and certainly give enough credence to the value of soft skills and how important they're going to be in your professional development and certainly as you proceed through your career. Okay, so here's the meat and potatoes of my presentation, okay? When you talk about emotional intelligence, there are two things that you have to focus on. One is you, and that's the self, and the other is everybody around you, and that's the social, okay? So when we talk about the self, we're really talking about, first and foremost, recognition. Who am I? Okay, so first of all, take a step back, ask yourself, who am I? And the other thing about it is, when we talk about the self, is we talk about regulation. I know who I am, but how do I react in certain situations? Okay, how do I know, how am I going to react to my colleague when they criticize my paper? Or how am I going to react to a colleague if they want me to work on a grant? Okay, so you have to know yourself, and you have to know how you behave in those situations. The other side of the coin is that you have to know everybody around you. Okay, so you have to be aware of your social environment, and you actually have to know or have the social skills to regulate that social environment, okay? So what I'm going to do in the next couple of slides, I'm going to go into detail about each one of these four quadrants, and I'm going to give you some tips that you can actually practice on, okay? So here we go. We're going to start with self-awareness strategies. So this is know thyself, okay? So what you have to do, and these are the tips that come from professionals, stop treating your feelings as good or bad. They're just feelings, okay? A good feeling is going to make you feel great. A bad feeling is going to stifle you, okay? How many people have had a bad feeling and it just stifles them for a couple of days, okay? You see that all the time, okay? So don't let that happen to yourself. Observe the ripple effect of your emotions and how they influence not only yourself but the people around you. Know who you are and know who pushes your buttons, okay? We all know how to push the buttons of other people, but we have to be aware of our own buttons. Keep a journal of your emotions, okay? So, okay, I felt this, and then what actually happened after that? Visit your core values. Can we talk about emotional intelligence? It goes back to your core values. What is really the main motivating factor in your decisions that you make and certainly the actions that you do? Spot your emotions in others and learn from them, okay? You can kind of use those as a reflective mirror. If you stay around for the next session, you can see my great emotional reflective mirror and my twin brother, okay? Because I could watch myself in those situations. I had no problem doing that. Seek feedback, okay? Don't be afraid to ask people about yourself and how you actually respond. And then get to know yourself under stress. And this is really important because how many people out there aren't experiencing any stress? Nobody, okay? Stress is the name of the game in academia. So you got to perform under stress and you got to know how you perform underneath that stress. You guys all read the cartoon for Calvin? You guys know Calvin and Hobbes, okay? So I stuck those in there. Okay, now the next one's self-management, okay? How do I respond? That's self-awareness. Now, how do I actually manage that? So it's self-management. Breathe, okay? Believe it or not, there's a right way to breathe. And teach yourself the right way to breathe. Count to 10, okay? It's as easy as that. If you're getting emotional about a certain particular situation, take a step back, count to 10, it relaxes yourself. Sleep on it. Okay. As a leader, I sleep on a lot of things. Okay. I'm not rushed to a decision because I know I have to sleep on that. Here's one that I do daily: write an email and then delete it. But I'm going to give you a tip: do not write an email in the email program because you might accidentally hit send. And I've done that too, right, Chris? What you do is you go over to Word and you write that email and you pound out all of your emotions. You read it over and say, "Oh, God, I'm glad I didn't send that," and you actually delete it. It's cathartic and it actually makes you feel better. Smile and laugh more, okay? You can get more with a smile. You know, it'd be amazing how far you can go with a smile. Visualize yourself succeeding. This is what professional athletes do all the time. They visualize themselves succeeding in their events. Do that same thing in your own career. Focus on your freedoms and just ignore the limitations, okay? You guys have the world in front of you and treat it that way. And then put a mental recharge period into your schedule, okay? That's extremely important, especially if you're under stress, okay? Because none of us can work 8 to 10 hours a day writing a thesis or writing a paper. You have to take a break, okay? Work smartly. Don't work, you know, because if you can be focused, you can get so much more done productively than trying to just pound away and just have nothing to write if you're going to kind of have an 8-hour session. So that's self-management. Social awareness, being aware of the people around you. Greet people by name, okay? If you know somebody's name, instantly you've got credibility, okay? So learn how to remember people's names and then greet them by name. Watch body language. Become a student in body language, and there are some excellent texts out there to read people's body languages. Who's closed off, okay? Who is open to communication, okay? You can see all that in people's body language. Make timing everything. We know about comedic timing, but make professional timing part of your repertoire, okay? Know when to speak and when to actually interject. Live in the moment, okay? Practice the art of listening. You can listen, but you have to actually listen actively, okay? You can sit there and just kind of doze off or whatever, and people will think you're listening, but respond to that after you've done listening. Take a walk in somebody else's shoes, okay? I have to do that as a leader because when I go to talk to somebody, I got to realize what they're coming from their situation, and then gauge the mood of the room, okay? As you develop in your professional career, you are going to understand this. You can walk into a room, if you're an extension, this is how extension pros get so successful. They can gauge the mood of the room, and they know how to adjust themselves accordingly. Is it going to be a hostile environment? Is it going to be welcoming? Is it going to be receptive? And then you're going to actually have your emotional response based on that. Okay, the last one of the quadrant is actually social management. This is probably the most difficult of the four, okay? Because what you're really trying to do is how you're going to try to control the people that are actually around you. The first one, be open and curious, okay? Enhance your communication style and know what your communication style is. Learn how to take feedback well. It's one thing to ask for feedback, but you got to be receptive to what you're going to hear, okay? Because that can be good or bad. Build trust. Build trust among colleagues. Every one of you should have a trusted colleague that you know you can go with anything, okay? Because you know they're going to give you honest and open feedback, and they're going to be very truthful in that feedback. Only get mad on a purpose, okay? Don't get mad and fly off the handle. We all know people are like that. But there are times to get mad, okay? Because that's effective. That's an effective communication school if you can kind of show that you are actually angry at that particular moment. And when you care, show it. Okay? As leaders, we do this every day. I mean, when you care about something, you have to really show it, and that has to be reflective in your moods and your actions. Explain decisions. Don't just make them. Okay? That's another thing that's going to be important. Be direct and constructive in your own feedback, and tackle that kind of tough conversation head on. Okay? That's one of the most difficult things I've had to learn as a leader, because just like John said, most of us are introverts, and doing this, having a tough conversation with a faculty member, with a staff member, that's hard. Okay? But when you do it, it feels very good after you've done that successfully. Okay? So those are the four different quadrants that are actually there that we'll talk about. So here's where the rubber meets the road, okay? And this comes from the emotional intelligence experts, okay? And if you can look over on the left-hand side there, 90% of the top performers out there have high EQ, okay? We know how important high IQ is in technical positions, but those people who are the top performers also have high EQ. They know how to understand and regulate themselves and understand and regulate and manage social situations. And look at that one in the middle. This is the one that struck me as really interesting. EQ is responsible for 58% of the success in your performance. 58%, that's over half of your performance, is how you react and how you respond to those social situations. It's not necessarily that technical expertise, okay? So that right there should tell you how important credibility is and how important is being accepted in your environment is. And then over on the right-hand side, you can see just how lucrative that's going to be if you can actually be successful in harnessing your emotional intelligence. Okay, so why is it all important, okay? It's important because you need to think about how often that you actually communicate at work, okay? And take a second to think about that, because you're going to do it on an hourly, if not a minute basis, in your lab group, in your courses, with your supervisor, with staff that are actually around you, with greenhouse personnel, okay? You are communicating constantly, okay? So that's something that you have to really practice on to be successful. Think of all those interactions that you have with peers, colleagues, and supervisors. And this does not stop when you graduate, okay? It only gets deeper and more pronounced, okay? Because you're going to start interacting with your faculty colleagues, your people who are on grants, your TAs in your class, etc. Think about all the interactions that you'll have, like I said, with students. Your involvement, it all starts here with ASHS. And if you talk to some of the older members in ASHS, and this was certainly true for myself, is there is no more comfortable and safe environment in this society to practice EQ. And you can talk to anybody that you see in this organization. This is a very protective environment. So this is your chance to practice, okay? So everybody in this society from the ground up are going to be accepting of who you are, and they're going to give you chances to excel in your professional career. And I can't emphasize that more, and I know all the speakers can do the same thing. Any activity in academia necessitates excellent soft skills and emotional intelligence. That's so important, I put it on the slide twice, okay? So think about that. You have to actually practice on your communication skills, because that's going to be paramount in your success as a professional. Okay, remember that emotional intelligence not only starts with yourself, but there's that others, that social environment that's actually there. So it's not enough to know yourself, and that's hard enough. You got to know everything around you and everyone that's actually around you. And remember, it's not only recognition, it's regulation. You can have that emotion, you can understand that emotion, but then you have to regulate that emotion. And whether that's a good emotion or a bad emotion, you're going to have to regulate that. And remember, high EQ increases your chance for success in achieving those goals. And the good news is that you can actually practice to increase your EQ. It's kind of hard to increase that IQ, that intelligence quotient, but you can actually practice and improve those EQ scores or that emotional intelligence. And if you can use all those tips that I just showed you, you can start down that path of actually improving that. So remember, this is a safe environment. Practice, practice, practice. You're going to have opportunities over the next 4 days to interact with colleagues at your poster, your oral presentations, in breakout sessions, and in the hallways. Take advantage of that, okay? Remember, this is your safe environment to try this, and all of us are going to be willing to help you along that path. Okay, I did not come up with any of this information in this presentation, so that's my disclaimer. I shamelessly pulled it from this particular text. This is Emotional Intelligence. And if you want a copy of this text, I grabbed this snapshot about 3 weeks ago before I loaded my presentation. And you can see on Amazon that you can actually get a hardcover copy for about $8. So this is a very worthwhile investment if you actually want to improve your emotional intelligence, because right in there it had all of those tips, it had practice tests, etc., and it outlined all of those areas of how to actually improve that emotional intelligence. So it's an excellent text, and I would highly recommend it. And you can see that there's over 100 copies there that are available on Amazon. And if you don't want to go through the process of reading a dry book, then I got most of what I actually know from Calvin and Hobbes and some of those books, because they do... Bill Watterson did a really good job of actually explaining EQ and how it actually affected Calvin's environment on a day-to-day basis. So with that, I'll take any questions. Any questions? Liz.
So I would say that maybe soft skills isn't the right term. If you actually be 8% of your success riding on it, what would you think of changing that? I mean, I don't think it's soft skills at all. It's that important to your success.
What would you want to call it then?
I'm not sure, but I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking, look at this room full of bright minds, and they're sitting there going, oh, that's the soft skills. Well, whoa. You know, there's a whole lot more to that.
You're right. It has a negative connotation to it whenever we say it as a scientist. But, I mean, there's a whole part of the university that's associated with soft skills. Those are the liberal arts.
Can we use
the
people skills?
People skills. There we go. Yeah. Important, successful life skills. Yeah. Yes.
Have you tried doing a similar workshop for your department at the University of Florida, teaching these essential skills, soft skills, and are you seeing an improvement in how people interact with one another?
We have not tried that yet, but we certainly talked about it. I will probably give this same seminar to our horticulture club and in our regular seminar series just to keep people aware of it. What I'd like to do as a unit leader, we're talking about revamping our curriculum like everybody does almost on an annual basis. What I'd like to do is almost adopt that business school model and put more of those team interactions and more of the interactive learning environment into horticulture curricula, because we can give them and we can present those technical skills in that format where students have to work together on projects and they have to rely on each other's expertise to solve problems. So we're just taking baby steps in that direction, but that's certainly one of the things I have in a goal for the next couple of years.